Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm going to do something on the show today to start the week off that I rarely do. Speak up for my compatriots, okay?
Oh, yeah.
How do you mean? Once upon a time, there was a little building off Wisconsin Avenue in Washington, D.C.
Ruh-roh.
And over the weekend, the building manager, known as Danny Dumbass, Daniel Dumbass decided that when it was going to be as hot in Washington, D.C. as the surface of the sun, that Daniel Dumbass would roll in sometime over the weekend and shut off the HVAC system.
Common practice in the business.
Oh, they think it saves a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? To cool a building, I happen to live in a part of the country where it's a pretty big deal. HVAC.
Yes.
You kind of have to monitor it every day. You have to do the big thing here is when I pop for my overpriced system to put in this home.
Yes.
The half the battle is the temperature. You know what the other half is? Sucking out all the humidity.
Ooh.
And the fact is that I still live vicariously through you guys up in D.C. and I see the fact that you've got a high temperature of what, 94 degrees today? Is that what it's going to be?
97.
97 degrees with, and this is amazing.
These degrees.
2,000% humidity.
2,000% humidity down in the valley, LNK.
2,000% humidity. And he turns the air conditioner. So what would be, what do you think the temperature would be?
Oh, I can give you hard, fast stats. I can give you hard, fast stats. Because when I pulled in today, I was marveling at the fact that at 9:30, it was already 87 degrees in the city. Okay, but that's just outside where there's a breeze and, you know, right. The excitement of the city. It doesn't feel like 87. When right. Pony got to the studio this morning, it was 91, 4 degrees hotter than it was outside.
It was
Yay!
It
we
is
say
my
yay a lot.
We have black counters, as you can see when you look through the Skype. They are literally warm to the touch because they've been absorbing heat all weekend.
All right, I'm
windows aren't
app.
Open.
No, I'm looking on my app right now.
What app is this?
This is my weather app,
Mike.
Weather.
You should know that this environment is not new to me, as I don't have AC in my home, though my mom's a.
Wow. Mike, there's a severe dew point in his throat.
Right. My mom's AC died just yesterday.
Oh, a horrible death and a bad time of year to do it.
I drove home to survey the situation, and my mom's standing there like she had when she was 16, and she was in La Paz, Bolivia, and they were having a heat wave. And I said,
tropical heat wave.
I thought we assimilated. You're wearing almost nothing. And
oh no!
And I said, look,
what was she wearing? Just
stop
out of curiosity.
It!
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kind of curious. When you say next to nothing, was she wearing like a house dress?
No, usually
flimsy sarong.
Some sort of like you know how your grandmother would have a doily that she would put something on.
Sure,
some sort of doily number.
Oh, a lace number
made out of linen. I said, well, that's interesting.
Really?
And I said, how long has this been like this?
I, too, am strangely interested, Mike.
I don't know why I'm curious.
I mean, neither.
Like a linen dress with...
lace. Flowing.
I'm sorry.
No, but it wasn't lace.
And when the oscillating fan hit her just right, Mike.
Where the lace would be, it was macrame. So...
Well, that's heavy. That's made of rope.
Well, that's all they knew back then.
By the way, heat advisory.
Oh, do you have the update, Mike?
Heat advisory in effect for D.C. until 7 o'clock. Hey, everybody, it's Tom Curine. Boy, oh, boy. Hot enough for you? Hey, get Chuck Bell back in there, huh? How about that?
Yeah. It's 97 Bell-grees.
Do you realize that it is 87 degrees currently in Washington, D.C., and partly cloudy?
Yes.
And it is 87 degrees... and sunny in Estero, Florida.
It's a big win
it's
for you,
It's the same
Mike.
Thing.
Big win.
The temperature in the studio in D.C. is 89 degrees.
Right.
The temperature in the studio in Fort Myers, Florida, with a gentle cool breeze on my left shoulder,
yes,
is currently 73 degrees.
Oh.
Now, let me tell you, that is what I keep my new thermostat at, because 73 to 75. Now, you might say, that's a little warm. No,
it's not.
Because the humidity is being taken out by this new train Ooh. System that I have.
Pony, do you have an update?
88 degrees.
88.
88 degrees inside the studio. Yes, that's WTF.
It's nap time.
Oh, God. I bet those bastards over in their glassed enclosed stupid center. Yeah. I bet they've got...
You I bet showed they're them, cool. Mike.
I bet they're... Yeah, we showed them. Yeah. $26 million a year billing. We're showing them every day, aren't we, boys?
Mike, a very, very talented and a very, very adept HVAC guy once told me, it's asking your AC too much to bring the inside temperature down about more than 20 degrees than outside.
Yes.
So if you're thinking if it's about 90 degrees and you have your house at 70, that's about ideal. But when it gets to the 100, you know, you got to keep it at about 80. But the key, you're right, is the dry air. You got to remove that water.
Let me tell you what I think about the Mike O'Mara Show as tenants at this facility. I think, Oscar,
yes,
we have been uber tenants.
We're the best. We're barely here, Mike.
I have been a landlord.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think you bitch to our friend Lex Luthor
no.
down the hallway.
No. Lex has nothing
all.
To do
no,
with it.
No, he doesn't.
Well, what's his deal?
Well, we sublet from
doesn't
him.
Doesn't he
yeah,
own
it? We sublet from him.
So he,
we
you know
sublet
what?
From him?
He answers to the same master that we do.
The man. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Big building.
So big building. Well, who do we bitch to? We're paying rent. We need to get some service.
We bitch to the man who turns it off. What I think all we should do, it has a lock box around it. We should do, and we should put our own lock on there when we leave for the weekend.
That's right.
Mm.
That's a great idea.
And not say anything.
Haven't you said seriously? I mean, it would be a major endeavor.
Yeah.
But Oscar said before that, you know, this office space isn't the only game in town.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's not the only game in town.
We could take our business elsewhere.
Always looking for options.
Yeah.
Always.
Big lease.
Always.
Big lease is out there looking for her. Other options.
Yeah, because you know what we're sick of? Big dew point.
Big if you want tenants that are barely there,
that's right.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's true. That's
yeah.
true.
We'll pay a full month rent for 36 hours of time.
Well, you know what? We could talk about the heat all day long,
yes.
but we have to move on with the show
yes,
and
do.
Get on to our Olympic coverage, which, or as I'm calling it, ladies and gentlemen, something to look forward to during the body of the show, big robbery.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Before I ever ran a casino or got myself blown up, Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. I'm serious. I had it down so cold that I was given paradise on earth. I was given one of the biggest casinos in Las Vegas to run, the Tangiers. I don't know all the details.
Matter of fact, nobody knew all the details. But it should have been perfect. I mean, he had me, Nicky Santoro, his best friend watching his ass. And he had Ginger, the woman he loved, on his arm. But in the end, we f***ed it all up. It should have been so sweet, too. But it turned out to be the last time that street guys like us were ever given anything that f***ing valuable again.
At that time, Vegas was a place where millions of suckers flew in every year on their own nickel and left behind about $1 billion. But at night, you couldn't see the desert that surrounds Las Vegas.
Got a lot of holes in the desert, and a lot of problems are buried in those holes. Except you gotta do it right. I mean, you gotta have the hole already dug before you show up with a package in the trunk. Otherwise, you're talking about a half hour or 45 minutes to dig it. And who knows who's gonna be coming along in that time. Before you know it, you gotta dig a few more holes. You could be there all f***ing night.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
And you see, kids, that's Nicky, and Nicky ended up in a hole.
He did.
But it wasn't in the desert.
No.
It was in a cornfield with his brother still breathing. That was a violent scene.
It was. But you know what? Violence is okay if it teaches a lesson.
Power 105 WAVA.
I call you on the telephone now.
We are live.
Red hot.
From the Pfeiffer Room in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, everybody. We're on the air and online everywhere. Bill O'Reilly, the Mike O'Mara Show, daily radio and internet broadcast with the greatest listeners in the universe because they get it. And if you're here, you will too. Our phone lines, whatever. Our show today.
Hey. Well,
we don't take calls except for Wednesday.
We take calls at any time.
888-920-6673.
Thank you.
That's 888-920-MORE. Clever! Today's show brought to you by Vistaprint. Vistaprint is the best, and the deal remains unbeatable. We are grateful to Vistaprint, and the reason we maintain our relationship with Vistaprint is because Vistaprint remains an incredible deal, and they are fantastic. And people still get cards through the Mike O'Mara Show at Vistaprint, and Rob has one right now in his hot little hand. If you have it, hold it up so I can see it. I don't know whether you're showing one or not. Jesus Christ. Thank you. I know it's hot.
I think his name is pronounced Crummy. Nick Crummy. He is an ASE certified mechanic. Crummy. And he has the greatest thing written on his card. Obviously, this is a custom card because he's got his own image on it, and he says on it, I fix S.
Oh, nice.
But he doesn't say S. He says
Is that
the
like
forward.
A handyman?
He is a handyman.
I might get a guy that. I don't know. Down here, that'd probably scare me.
Crummy?
Guy come in all Crummy. Up.
Come on in, no. Crummy.
You know what? Give him credit. Crummy fixes it. You know, the thing is it a fake card?
No, it's real. I think he hands it out to his buddies.
Oh, okay. So it's a. But we don't know if it's a real business or not.
No, he is ASE certified. I mean, he's a real deal.
Well, you want to call Crummy
after
the show starts?
Let's call Crummy.
Vistaprint. Cards make it easy and affordable to make a great first impression. It's never been so easy to look so professional. Use a Vistaprint template or your own logo. Vistaprint will make you look great. Every one of us has designed a card at Vistaprint. The best customer service, great quality, and your satisfaction absolutely guaranteed. If you're not 100% happy, Vistaprint will make it right. Remember Vistaprint.com and remember TMOS. It's Vistaprint.com. Create your custom card and use promo code TMOS at checkout.
Do it.
And be like Mr. Crummy. It doesn't matter. With that price point, you can make fun cards as well as legitimate business cards and hand them out to pals. That's the way that goes.
So. And I think maybe I got the impression from his letter, he gets tired of being put upon by his buddies. To fix things. But he is a real mechanic, a real handy man.
I'll play a game with you, Rob Spiewak.
Oh, I love games.
At the beginning of the show.
Yes.
I will say that due to my tweaking my back, because as I found out today from a very smart lady that's helping with me with physical therapy, I pushed it, just like they say you're not supposed to push.
Don't push it.
And, well, I thought walking without the cane, even if I was gimping around a little bit, was probably the right thing to do. And she said that's what did it. She said, when you're
really?
Going, well, you're going like this on your spine. You're going, gank, gank, gank. And if you have a bad back like I do, that threw me for a loop. Put me on my back for most of the weekend. I was kind of like Johnny Bedridden-Atory over the weekend. I was
wow.
But it allowed me to do one thing that I never do. And first of all, that is hell on earth for me to actually be in bed, not being able to get up and not really wanting to get up and being in that kind of, I cannot.
It's okay to be in bed when you choose to be in bed.
Yeah.
But if you're forced to stay there, it's rotten.
Yeah. And I realize, you know, we do 5-6 hours a night usually. And so, you know, we're not in there that often. And so it just sucks to be there. But TV got, you know, I got so Olympic'd out that I finally decided I would try something different. And I watched an elderly movie. I watched one of your
an old movie?
Style movies. And I
was it
you,
one that you streamed?
I will give you five questions. I will give you five questions. No, it was one that was on a network.
Okay, was it on
obscure network, but a network?
Was it a black and white movie?
It was.
All right. Now I'm going to say because he said it was
your
obscure
first
network.
Yes, Casablanca.
It was not on Turner. Because if it's an obscure network,
that, and I'll give you that as an extra, because you only have five questions. I will tell you that is correct.
All right. My second question
Turner
of five.
Is obscure.
It's not. It's a big network. It's big.
It's not HBO.
You know
Showtime.
What it is?
I think it's important to focus on the movie.
T-C-M.
I think it's important to focus on the movie.
The
was
only
it?
Reason I know is because of Rob.
That's right. And you know what? You're a better man for it. A better, sweatier man.
How about this?
Okay.
And this will really help you?
Yes.
I will narrow it down because you only have five questions. I will narrow it down even further.
Yes.
you are allowed to get the male star or the female star's
Ooh.
Name.
Okay. All right. All right. Was
Dirk
it a
Diggler.
Was it a comedy?
I said you're allowed to get to which do you want? The female star or the male? Are you even listening?
I thought you meant the guest would have been okay. Shut up. Jesus Christ.
I will give you the male.
I will take the male star.
Jack Lemmon.
Was it a comedy?
Of course.
Yes.
He's known for his
Does
comedy.
It also
Technically,
have,
it falls into that category.
Was it directed by Billy Wilder?
Yes.
Ooh.
Was it The Apartment?
Whoa! Oh, my God, he's good. Oh, my God.
And it's a great film. You know why? Because Fred McMurray plays a dick in it.
A total dick.
Oh, and that is such against type. That's a fun movie to watch. Dark movie, but a great film.
But the main reason I bring this up.
Yes.
It is 1960. I was a one-year-old. And I will tell you this. This movie is so Mad Men 60s.
Yes.
And the scene that blew me away, she's having an affair with Fred McMurray. He won't leave his wife. She takes it over.
Shirley MacLaine, right?
Yeah, Shirley MacLaine takes an overdose of sleeping pills.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doctor comes in because he's got a neighbor doctor, Jack Lemmon does.
Yeah, the plot, Oscar, is Jack Lemmon is an underling at a big company. And he lets the big guys use his apartment for
to bang their mistresses.
Oh, nice.
So that's the plot.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And they've all got the mistresses. Yep. They're like, hey, okay. Hey, CeCe Maxwell, we got to use your apartment today. There you go. And it won the Academy Award for Best Picture in 1961. The thing about this is, so I'm cruising through all the rampant sexism that doesn't exist today.
Right.
Like it did when, you know, this was just the way that the men were portrayed. Men are still dogs, don't get me wrong. But it was this exception. Hey, I need you Thursday night. I need Thursday night at 6 o'clock, Maxwell. Got to use your apartment to bang my missus. And all the women that were working in, they all banged women that were working for the insurance company.
Sure.
They were all like, hello, Mr. Davis. I'm going up to your room right now to bang you. This is the way it goes.
Here's your coffee and your sandwich, and I'll be at the apartment at 7:15 with my ankles apart.
Probably my late 20s. I knew a guy, an acquaintance of a friend, and he came to me. He said, hey, man, I'm going in on a condo in the city, apartment. It's going to be a lease.
Right.
And I need two other guys to do it, and it's where we're going to take our girls. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he had to sit like I was like a three-year-old. He had to break down to me that he wanted to get a second lease and break it up with other guys.
A stabbing cabin.
Stabbing cabin. Stabbing cabin.
Yes. And I sat there. I said, the only thing I was thinking about, I was like, man. That's gonna be a lot of laundry. Like, I wasn't thinking about the logistics, even the dollars. I said, and then fast forward to me being 38 now. I was like, why would you ever do that? Right?
You would do that because you didn't have the resources to do one on your own, and you wanted a place that wasn't a hotel room where you're gonna take.
Ultimately,
your honey.
You're gonna be saving money.
It was, but the thing is, here's the thing about this movie. This movie is sexist.
Yep.
It is racist, like you would not believe, with the guy shining shoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end of the movie, it's not really all that sweet. He says, I love you. She says, deal the cards.
Yeah.
The end.
The thing is that it's
go.
Jack Lemmon is an anti-hero. He's not.
He's an anti-hero. He's a total wuss.
There's nothing really wonderful about him except the fact that he realizes what the worst guys, what they're doing is wrong, but he doesn't do anything to correct it per se.
But the thing that jumped out at me, and Carla didn't care, I paused and I said, you have to see this scene. She takes the overdose of Secanol, which I guess was prescribed in the day for sleeping pills, and she takes the overdose. He gets his neighbor doctor, his nice Jewish neighbor doctor.
Again, not overplayed, Mike.
Not overplayed, but yeah, it's like, well, here we go. We're going to get.
How many pills did she take?
Hold on a second. Let's put some coffee on. Put some coffee on right now. And then he proceeds to feed her the coffee, give her an injection of something, and then beat the crap out of her. I am talking about.
Oh, my God.
In this movie. He is slapping her, repeatedly in the face.
I remember that making me feel really ill at ease.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is weird. And I don't know.
Is that in 1960, if you took an overdose, is that how the doctor would bring you around?
I guess, man.
I haven't seen a beating, but I've seen... I think that's just like a TV thing, right? But the girl had to take the hits.
Back
she had
in
to
the take day. The
hits. Oh, but also, it would
wake
also.
Wake up there. Wake up there. Boom. Wake up there. Boom.
In your 1960s medicine book, you'd slap a woman if she was overdosed on Seconal, but also if she was really, really having a mental breakdown. Because you would slap her to make her come out of it, too.
Why did she take the pills?
She took the pills because Fred McMurray's a dick and he wouldn't leave his wife, and she was in love with Fred McMurray.
And who wouldn't be?
And once she realized he wasn't going to come around, she took the sleeping pills. And Jack Lemmon was always in love with her. And in the end, Jack Lemmon got promoted to the executive suite because Fred McMurray used his apartment. And then he refused to use the apartment after she took the overdose. And Fred McMurray fired Jack Lemmon. And Jack Lemmon goes home and packs up his apartment. And when Shirley MacLaine discovers that he had really done this, then she runs down the hallway and runs out to the apartment, and they fall in love.
Oh, that's sweet.
You know, Fred McMurray was a dick in real life, too.
Was he really?
Notoriously cheap. Now, this is the guy that was the father on My Three Sons.
Hi, it's Fred McMurray.
He was super cheap, and also, because he was so important to the production of My Three Sons, he would insist that every season, and the show ran for about 12 or 13 seasons, every season the scripts were done before
the season.
One
of the longest running shows on television, right?
Exactly, because it had so many iterations. They actually got rid of Sons and brought in new ones.
Right.
But Mike, there was always three.
Hold on, there was Chip.
Right.
There was Ernie.
Yeah.
And there was Robbie.
Robbie, right? But then there was Tim Considine in the early seasons. The really? Black and white season when Fred Mertz, when William Frawley was.
Well, no, who was Tim Considine?
I can't think of his name.
He wasn't a son, though.
Yes, he was. He was the oldest son, and he left, and that's when they brought in Ernie, so that they could have to change the title.
There was William DeForest, who was Uncle Charlie.
No, no, his name William Demarest.
William Demarest.
Yeah, and he was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, Uncle Charlie.
But before William
Oscar,
Demarest,
are you staying with us?
I'm just following along, Charlie.
Before William Demarest, Mike, there was Uncle Bob O'Casey, and that was Fred Mertz. That was.
So how do you go back that far?
Because they were in reruns. You see the reruns, the black and white ones.
I've never seen them. I'm 10 years older than you are.
I've never heard of the show.
But this is something Oscar will enjoy.
Yes.
Believe it or not, like come back, son. Is that he would get all the scripts written before the season would start, and they would shoot all of his parts in order so he could only have to work about 3-4 weeks a season.
Whoa.
And then they all his close-ups, all his group scenes, all of them, all that was shot, and then he'd be done and he'd just leave because he only wanted to work for 4 or 5 weeks a year.
That's phenomenal.
Smart guy, but a dick.
This is the theme.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come here till 83, Mike.
I understand. So this is
music by Frank Duvall, I believe, on this.
This is your wheelhouse. Okay. We're finished here.
Do you remember when the show would start with him just saying, "Hi, welcome to our show."
Welcome to our show.
What an asshole.
Is there a modern iteration of it?
Pony looked at me. He's like, "What is going on?"
Do you remember the theme?
Oh, no. I've never heard this in my life.
I like that. Oh,
Robbie married Katie, and they had triplets, so guess what?
They
three
had
more
three sons.
Right.
Here, hey, wait. Here's the more modern version of it.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Let's see if this works. Hold on. All right. Wait.
That is modern.
Hogan's Heroes.
Where are they now? The cast of My Three Sons.
Oh, thank you, YouTube. You, YouTube. Really? You know, some fucking Poindexter that comes on. Gee, where are they now? Welcome to Bubba Dop Dip Dip Tippa Tip Fip Tip.com. My name is Saul Golden Gold.
Didn't you play the doctor in the apartment?
Honest to God. I swear to God, these websites. You know, it's like, I want a theme song. I don't want anything you tell me. I don't want additional logos. I want the information. Just get me the stuff. This is the same thing. I want to see a video.
When you need My Three Sons music,
yes.
You don't want to mess around.
Right, yeah. Where are they now? I don't care if they're in a ditch.
Well, I know where Fred McMurray is now. He's in a hole.
Hi, welcome to our show. Yeah. right above 10 hilarious security tapes. Thanks, Knott. I bet they're funny.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Speaking of security, Mike.
Bunny, I'm sorry on a hot day that I make you edit. I can't control myself sometimes. And, you know,
you're a monster.
Yeah, you are a monster.
Oscar's called me a monster in real life before. Mm-hmm. I'm really not, yeah, but I can behave. Offbury's called me a monster.
You're a lovable monster. Like Oscar Cookie Monster.
When Oscar called me a monster, we were like at the end of one of our mini fights, and it was like, and I'm like, Oscar, you know, I get like this, and Oscar was like exasperated and went, oh, geez, you're a monster. It was just like. Like, you know, he was sitting there in the gladiator pit. It was just like over and there's blood everywhere. God, you're like a monster. No, I'm not, Oscar. I blow hot. That's all. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. Just you wait.
That's right. Hi, welcome to our show.
Hi, welcome to our show. I'm Fred McMurray. So anyway, Fred McMurray got screwed in the end because his secretary told his wife he was cheating.
Oh.
So not only did he lose his wife and family, but he didn't get the girls. Shirley MacLaine and Jack Lemmon did. And The Apartment won the Oscar for Best Picture in 1961.
That's we'll take karma a break. Is what that is.
We'll take a break and talk about some Olympic whitewash. That's right. Are they telling the whole story at NBC? I don't think so, but they're certainly telling the human interest stories. Hey, we'll take a break and come back.
Monster.
Monster.
Hey, if you're looking for podcast perfection, check out The Rob and Joe Show.
It's The Rob and Joe Show. Listen to it's The Rob and Joe. It's The Rob and Joe Show. Listen every week for new episodes. Damn it. It's The Rob and Joe Show. New episode. Me. It's The Rob and Joe Show. New episode every week. RobandJoeShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and check us out on the TMOS app.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Tracker. Gave my daughters trackers over the weekend. They all got trackers, both of them, those sweeties. And we all live in an area, an era, of smart cars, smartphones. Tracker takes you out of that dumb area when you lose something, and Rob's got a tracker right now.
You know what is so cool? I want to thank the good people at Tracker that sent us customized Mike O'Mara Show trackers with our logo on them.
Those
we use
the
them
ones,
all the time.
Those are the ones my daughters got.
Beautiful.
They've got them right now. Tracker's fantastic. It's a coin-sized device. It locates misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers. It does it. It finds anything in seconds. Pair Tracker to your smartphone. Attach it to anything. It's very simple, and you can find its precise location with the tap of a button. It's that easy. And if you lose your phone, just press the button on Tracker, and your phone rings even when it's on silent. Never lose anything again thanks to Tracker. TMOS listeners get a special 30% discount off their entire order. So buy a bunch of them. Just go to thetracker.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's thetracker, TheTracker, thetracker.com. The hardest thing you'll ever have to find is their website. Go to thetracker.com right now and use the code TMOS for 30% off. Get it? Their website. What they're saying is you'll find all the stuff you
right,
lose, but
right.
You'll maybe have trouble because you don't put the right thing for the website. That's 30% off. thetracker.com/TMOS and do it right now. And no, code TMOS. Sorry. That's what I wanted to say.
Code.
All right.
Code.
Thank you.
Code.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Olympic fever.
You got it?
I am a hypocrite because I railed against it at the beginning and I said I wouldn't watch, but
right.
You can't help yourself because you want to look in on the athletic competition and you want to see what's going on. And so I actually dove into a couple of competitions. I'll tell you the ones that I enjoy. I like me all forms of volleyball. I like me the beach volleyball. Like me the indoor volleyball. Like me, the gymnastics. Don't mind watching the swimming. Really, unfortunately, I apologize to anybody who plays this sport. The women's basketball, it just doesn't do it for me because I just don't like basketball, and so I don't watch that. And I watched a little diving, but I rarely do, but I decided I would
watch
it.
What about crew? You were a crew competitor at
one
point.
Yeah, I watched the crew. Watched the oarsmen.
Don't you think that would be a better sport if they had to turn the boat around and come back? That's what I kept thinking about.
Nice.
That thing is so long and thin.
Oh, the Netherlands. The Netherlands skull has ripped off the Great Britain's and they've collided once again. Now the oars seem to be dead. This is usually the most difficult part of the competition. You see them go. Now, we would have told the Netherlands to turn right, but they didn't do it. Anyway, yeah. So I watched the diving competition, the preliminaries.
Sure.
And this is what everybody's bitching about with NBC. There are a couple of bitches I have with NBC. This is the one I posted on Facebook. You've got this girl, Cassidy Cook.
Right.
Now, right away, she's got the daddy preordained the name to be marketable.
Right.
I swear to God, I believe that parents do this. Crazy Cassidy Cook with all their siblings that begin with K.
Like the Duggars.
They could not get the camera off this girl because she was kind of cute. Now, by the way, the people on my thread that wrote, super hot. Okay, buy another magazine, pal, because no, I wouldn't qualify her as model pretty.
Right.
She's attractive, but the camera is just on her constantly. And what are you texting with it?
I'm looking for Cassidy Cook.
You drive me crazy today with that. I see you're yawning, you're texting. Jesus Christ, get with the problem. Hey. Come on.
I don't know what my three sons are about. You spent 20 minutes on that.
I know. But now we're back to you can relate
to the
Olympics.
I'm looking for the hot chick you're talking about.
All right, so it's Cassidy Cook, and they're sitting there,
Oscar.
and they are.
Mike, you're out of control.
Yeah.
This girl's solid.
Yeah.
I'm on Mike's side.
All right.
Solid.
Thank you. I'm on Mike's side. You know what she is?
Girl next door.
She's cute. Mm-hmm.
Does dirty things.
Yeah. Girl next door. I'll give you that.
Does dirty things every time she gets in the water down there because the water's dirty.
The green water. So they mention that in 5 seconds. Yeah, they'll fix it by Tuesday. Thank you. So they're diving into the green water. Kooky, crazy Cassidy Cook with all that personality is dancing to her headphones, and they're showing her in the shower dancing, and they're saying, and they've got the narrative.
Is she naked in the shower?
No, she's got her suit on. She's out there on the platform,
Mike,
for Christ's sake.
Have you done an image search on this girl, Cassidy Cook?
I watched the diving competition, Oscar.
Oh, she's in a bikini, and she looks solid.
Okay?
Solid.
I will give you that she's hot. Okay?
Here. Oh, thank you.
Put your schwatzduckler back in your pants. God, you're so lonely.
Hey, you're not kidding. Jesus, would I like break me off a piece of that?
Yeah, to be fair, though, Pony right before was doing an image search on Bob Costas shirtless.
Mm-hmm. I think
he'll do anything.
I think we found Pony's wheelhouse. I think we found Pony's wheelhouse. So you're a Mila Kunis fan, correct, Pony?
Oh, yeah.
You nailed it.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, see? I know. Yeah. See, I'm good at this. I know
nice, strong.
Now, so I'm going to concede the hot point. All right? So they're showing her with her little headphones. Then they show her all of her 10 friends that are up there, and I'm not talking about her 10 friends, all of her friends that are 10s.
Oh, okay.
They're all up there. They show her dad with his little Ivy League school hat or whatever he's wearing. They show her, and she's up there. And meanwhile, they bring the other diver, who's the American.
Oh, that dog.
And stop that. Behave yourself. This American is a better diver. She's a medical student.
Where's the 10-meter board? Could you help me up the ladder?
I can't.
I think you need like 10 of those.
This is really, really hard. This is really
but
hard.
But I understand. I know the point where you're going.
You're trying to make my point.
You need to press on because your point is valid. Your point is valid.
Let me just give you. You know what? Because of that, I'll be right over. I have to get her name.
Please. All due respect, we should have equal and balance.
Exactly.
Yes, respect.
Of course. Mm-hmm. You don't want to lose your balance. Not when you're diving. No.
Not
it's
on
all
the board.
It's all about balance.
That's right.
I'm going to hold on to this handrail.
I'm going
to
get it just a second.
All the way out.
Well, it is for Olympia, especially females, it's harder for them to really exude.
Abby Johnston. That's the name of the other diver.
I'm going to look her up.
More like Flabby Johnston, am I right, ladies?
No,
no. No, they're all athletes.
Stop.
No, I'm kidding.
They're all athletes. So, but Abby Johnston is not Cassidy Cook.
No.
And by
not
the way,
as marketable by a long shot.
And they, Cassidy Cook, maybe I know now how NBC is doing this.
They're just they're programming to whoever's watching.
Yeah, which one's the dog?
So, the Cassidy Cook gets up on the board and does her dive and like screws the pooch. She doesn't dive well. And then really shortly thereafter, she continues not to dive well.
Right.
And then they create a narrative of this is her Olympic moment. Well, it turns out her Olympic moment is that she has to have this super amazing dive of her life to even make it to the finals. And she doesn't. So there's no story, but they spend the entire time with the camera on her. Meanwhile, you have divers from China, divers from Canada that
kicking
are
ass
doing
and taking names.
That are doing thank you, Oscar. Thank you for joining us. They're doing these spectacular dimes.
But you know what happens?
And you've got
Mike,
the American that's right in the middle of the pack doing these.
What happens shows. With some news?
Are you showing a picture, a hot picture of Cassidy Cook?
Well, there's these great ass shots, Mike, that she
has
on her Instagram account.
Yeah,
IG.
He's found the best examples, I believe. But I will say this. There's a certain thing, and it happens in news organizations and maybe even with news people we've worked with.
Right.
When they prepare some news, it is their utmost priority to make sure it's shared, whether or not it's for the best of the entire broadcast.
Yeah.
When
NBC anoints you with the narrative, when NBC deems your story marketable...
Stuff that was written in March, Mike. This stuff was written in March.
You are done.
Yes.
You are set. They can... You can screw up. And sometimes it's performance-based.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Phelps, the best number one example. That's why you see... Mrs. Phelps up there, and the baby out of wedlock in the
that was a dig. How dare you?
So you said no, but I mean he might be biting the medal to show everybody he's got his medal. I'm surprised she doesn't bite the baby's head. She's holding it like a trophy all day long. I mean, she's showing that. Hey, you got to give me the one too. Yeah,
that violated all of them, Mike.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Boomer Phelps has over 300,000 followers on Instagram. Mm. Blows my mind. Instagram. Boomer Phelps.
Is that his name?
Yeah, that's a baby's name.
That's a baby's name.
Well, he can't be Boomer Phelps.
Well, Mike, that's not his given name. It's a nickname. His real name is, of course, Boomington.
What is his name? Boomington Illegitimazzo?
How
dare you?
It's Boomington. No, I'm just making a call here, okay?
Boomington Bastardo Phelps.
Thank you.
Jeez, where are
they? They're engaged to be married. They have a date.
I'm Sean Hannity. Where are the Christian values in America anymore? Come on now. For God's sake.
Does the baby annoy you?
The woman carrying the baby like a trophy annoys me.
That's all she's got, Mike.
Mm-hmm, the baby
all
mama.
She's got.
Yeah. But how do we get
I'd be holding
Michael
that
Phelps?
Baby if it wasn't even mine the whole time.
That's her ticket to a house right there.
By the way, the American swimmers kick ass, and Michael Phelps is just amazing to watch. And I love all that stuff with him because, look at the 28 medals, whatever. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely incredible. But the thing is, so this Cassidy Cook with her crazy siblings.
A lot of fluff, Mike.
A
lot of fluff.
She finishes completely out of the running.
Yeah.
And you've spent the entire competition with your camera up her beautiful ass, as Oscar pointed out. And the thing is, and it just frustrated me. And I said, that's why I posted it on Facebook. Yeah. I was very frustrated with that.
Well, they had it prepared, as said.
Yes. Here's the thing. I've never seen a bigger example of complete, and somebody's calling me naive by saying this, and I understand that, okay? I know I'm naive, but I expect more. It's the same thing where you have speaking of swimmers, you have Ryan Lochte, who next to Michael Phelps is probably, am I right, the best male swimmer
number
we have?
Number
yes.
two.
US.
One's the number two seed.
Yes.
And what happens to him, he is not only robbed, he is robbed at gunpoint. The gun is put to his head, and the trigger is cocked, and they lead on the Olympics today. Where, and they say it like this, it's back to Rio, and the Olympic gymnasts do it again, fantastic. Men's golf takes ahead as Justin Rose chooses it.
Ryan Lochte got robbed.
And anyway, as we move down like here, you have the Australian team that has now banned their athletes from walking on Ipanema or Copacabana Beach after dark. You have Lochte riding in a cab.
Pulled out by a fake cop. They flash a badge.
Cop.
To get him out. That's right. Yeah. And he's got his green hair, and they take his money. It's
and
not good.
So my point is it would be nice to have, but they can't because it's all one vast, big conspiracy with the IOC.
Yeah.
And,
and don't forget, Mike, the money. There's the money.
The money.
NBC
but
has
also,
to protect their investment.
And you're talking about crime-ridden Rio de Janeiro because of the incredible vastness of the separation between the haves and have-nots have resulted in these incredible high rises for all the wealthy people that are steps away from these favelas where people are so desperate that they will pull crap like that on Olympic athletes.
A lot of drug turf wars are still going on.
Constant
it's like South American Atlantic City.
It's not like South American Atlantic City. It's like hell. is yeah, what oh, it well. Is. And the thing is,
double
I
hockey
mean,
sticks.
And, but then,
shock,
you know,
shock, you're a monster.
But steps away. You've got, you know, hey, look at the Olympics. It's great and all this. And say, how about a real? What's wrong with a reality check? You bought the rights to it.
Yeah. But I think they're looking ahead by tarnishing the image. They love the fact that they have this and it's their jewel. And if they tarnish it, they're only working against themselves.
See, to me, it would be wonderful if they had it and that meant that they could report exclusively on it.
But they never will.
So many dollars are riding on this. I'll give you an example. I went to the Nike store in Georgetown here, right? And I needed to pick up some what I thought were still called flip-flops, Mike. They call them slides now, the kids.
Yes.
Slides, mm-hmm. not flip-flops.
Well, slides you can charge more for.
And I walked in. I was like, oh, let's spend $20. No big deal.
Sure.
They had some USA.
Those are more expensive than they used to be. You know, you can thank for that.
Obama!
That's right. Thanks a lot, Obama.
So I went and I saw some Olympic Nike slides, flip-flops for everyone else out there. Mm-hmm. And I brought them to the register thinking, okay, it's the store. It's going to be $30 to the city. That's what it is. They said $75.
There you are.
And what? I said, what?
Big shoe.
I was like, I'll take those back and put them right back. I said, how much are the ones without the USA and Olympic rings? And they said, oh, those are $40. And I said, I'm going to Amazon. That's
yes.
it. That's it.
Wow.
$75 for flip flops.
I know. And the thing is, nothing being done to help. This is
It can't be helped if they hide it.
No, because they're the guys on the committee. They get bribed to give it to the cities. It's
big bribery. Mm-hmm.
It's such big bribery.
It's true.
Hey, but we got the most medals.
Yep.
All right. Good stuff. And I'm proud of that. I like watching our athletes. I really do. But it sucks when
I like it for the athletes. I don't like it for the competition or the organization.
When you bury the fact that the second best male swimmer in the entire United States had a gun put to his head.
A cocked gun.
And you don't lead with that. You have destroyed yourself as a news organization.
Oh, yeah.
Not that we didn't know they had for many, many years, but they can kiss my Irish ass. And they've been, by the way, they've been getting a world of negative publicity to start with. It will continue to happen, but they will pony up the dough. By the way, all other news organizations where they are controlling their content so tightly that they don't have, they don't release it to anybody else, so they can't show you the highlights of our Olympians because they paid their $1 billion for it. It's such a sad state of affairs. It really is. It bums me out.
Do you think that there will be enough tarnish on it that the Olympics will be vastly changed the next time?
Oh,
or
no.
Will, as we predicted,
no,
or even
won't.
As we surmised,
nothing will change.
Could the Olympics actually just go away?
Oh, no.
No, absolutely
not.
I still watch. Mike, nothing will change.
All weekend long, and really since the Olympics started, the number one topic on social media is
the Olympics.
The real Olympics.
Yep.
It will never change. What I would like to see happen, and that will never change also, it's just a fantasy, would be the vast amounts of cash that go into these Olympics. I would love to see. You know, when people are standing in a public square and they're raising their arms up in the air with the giant screens that have just announced that their city gets the Olympics, wouldn't that be incredible if that meant something on a bottom line level, even if it was a few hundred dollars for every citizen
in
that city?
It's more pride and ego.
Yes.
It's ego right now.
It's ego and pride and la, 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 and keeping the peasants
no
happy.
Real dollars.
I mean, keeping the great unwashed happy. There's my speech again. Sorry to bitch about it. I love the fact that I like the competition, but I would love to see a change. And it's never going to change with co-conspirators like NBC.
When do you think Fort Myers is going to get the Olympics, Mike?
We got to clean our water up first.
That'd be good. Green pools?
If you go see the Caloosahatchee River, okay. Hey, Rio, we're right behind you. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lake Okeechobee, for putting your S water into our Gulf of Mexico. Appreciate it. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more. And I'll tell you about a new family member in the O'Meara household.
Oh.
Right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. With all my issues, ladies and gentlemen, if I didn't have a Sleep Number bed, I would be out of my mind. Have you gotten your Sleep Number bed yet? You simply can't afford a mediocre night's sleep, but you can afford a Sleep Number bed. Just go to Sleep Number, any Sleep Number store, so you can see, and more importantly, how you can feel how you can feel a Sleep Number mattress, and how it adjusts on each side for firmness and support. It is the perfect bed for couples. One of the things I always mention, because it adjusts for couples on both sides, mm-hmm. they're separate platforms. So you can bounce and toss and turn and get yourself comfortable. And in the old days, when we didn't have a Sleep Number bed, Mrs. O'Mara would hit her head on the ceiling because I would be bouncing her up when I would shift my massive body weight.
No wonder your hip is messed up. All that jumping on the bed?
Yeah, it doesn't happen anymore. It's fantastic. They have a Sleep IQ technology which tracks your sleep so you know what to adjust to sleep better. They will tell you. It's that easy. According to Sleep IQ research, people who adjust their Sleep Number setting are 58% more likely to have improved sleep quality. My Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65. And last night, my Sleep IQ score was a 90,
hey!
Ladies and gentlemen.
Nice!
And I feel great. A queen Sleep Number mattress with Sleep IQ starts at only $1,099.98. That's $1,099.98, a great value, no better sleep. Sleep Number beds and Sleep IQ technology only available at any of the 475 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to offer the salesperson a firm handshake with gum in your hand. No, oh, I kid.
No. Well, no, the gum is wrapped. It's like a secret pass.
Ah, like
simply
the deal.
Yeah.
Here's some candy.
Mike O'Mara.
Candy.
Just tell him I sent you, please.
My dad said it. My dad said it when he bought his. Said, yeah, Mike, well, sent me, yeah.
My mom didn't when she went in there and killed her.
Too soon.
She knows I love her.
Only you can judge that, Mike.
Wow. That's, hey, you know what? You can make the joke when you're the one. I had a moment like that, too. I watched like a Lifetime movie. I was a mess yesterday. I was a complete mess. And it was like
you were in crisis mode?
I just was, you know, a little oxy over the weekend, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I rode that wave.
Carla comes home and she's like, you're hello. Home. We're back from the grocery store. Hi, how you doing?
I'm all right.
What was the Lifetime movie you watched?
It wasn't Lifetime. It was
Hallmark.
No, it was a movie with Scott Eastwood.
Oh, Clint's talented son.
It was called The Longest Ride.
Mm.
Thank you. That's all. And if you watch it, you'll know that I'm an idiot. And Alan Alda.
It's not a porn.
No, it's not a porno. Cruel boy.
The name, you see.
So
you have a new family member?
Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Oscar. Let me see.
It's linear.
Just Oscar a few more Santa. Minutes left, Oscar. So anyway, we are we'll get you out of that hot studio as soon as
Thank
we can.
You.
The little guy on July 19th had a birthday party, and I forgot to tell you that one of our neighbors, a friend of Carla's here in the neighborhood, got him a fish.
Hey!
Bought him a little fishy. Fishy! Fishy woo! Fishy woo! Fishy woo!
Is it a neighbor that's close to you guys?
Yes, she lives. I could walk to her house
right
now.
Oh, that's sweet.
Is it a tank fish or a bowl fish?
It's a bowl fish.
Ah, so you got to keep that clean.
Did she bring the food and the bowl or just the fish?
Did she bring any Old Bay seasoning?
No, you wouldn't be able to do that. I'm thinking more like a fraternity stunt.
Ooh.
Oh, you know, where you just go, goldfish.
Well, it's not. It's got a lot of flappy fins.
Ooh,
on it, you know?
Samurai fish.
Like a fish called Wanda fish?
Looks Asian.
It's small. It's tiny. It's about that big.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't know the breed?
Is he excited for a fish?
The little guy?
Yeah.
He only knows it's there. It was like 5 minutes. And Carla cleans the tank. I told her I'd have nothing to do with it.
That is, to me,
her
shocking.
Friend.
I thought that he would be into the fish. I think he checked the fish every day.
He named it. He gave it a great name. Named it Bubble.
Bubble.
Bubble the fish. I like
Bubble
that.
The fish. Yeah. Isn't that a great name?
That
for
is
the
good.
Fish? Bubble.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps it's best here. He doesn't get attached.
You know, it's July 19th. I only spoke to the fish this past weekend. That's the oxy once again. I was walking by and I'm like, well, hello, little friend. I haven't said hello to you yet. I swear to God, that is the direct quote that came out.
Oh, no.
Hello, little friend. I haven't said hello to you yet. And I bent down and I got right down to eye level on the on the little bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it and it was just like it has these eyes like beluga eyes. Like that.
Did the
and,
fish respond?
No. Yes, Robbie. It poked his head out of the water like a Pixar movie and said, hey, how are you? Yeah. No, it's fine.
You got a light.
Carla has completely absorbed the responsibility of the fish, and like she's absorbed the responsibility of everything.
Right.
And she takes care of the fish. Occasionally she has to put it like in a cup.
Yeah.
And then they dump out all the other
you know, shells.
Are there stones and stuff in the bottom of the bowl?
Yeah, there's stones, and it's bubble the fish. And the, you know, the little guy, he's on to his next mission. He didn't break it. He wanted to reach in. He said, "Are they spiky?" And I knew that "are they spiky" meant, "Can I reach in and grab it?" And so we had to fend him off of that because he's all boy.
They're spiky. And,
yeah, very spiky. So, very spiky.
Yeah, so we have Bubble the Fish.
At least he knows how to ask, right?
Yeah.
Because most kids just grab. That's it.
Well, he hits.
What?
How do you mean?
He hits.
He hits people?
He hits people occasionally.
Oh, well, he's got his father's temper.
Yeah, that's right, because that's right, Rob. That's right, because I would always settle my differences with my fist. That's right. I'll give you a right cross if I do that.
So does he feed the fish? Because feeding the fish is always the highlight.
Yeah, he feeds the fish with his mother on occasion, and then he'll get upset about something particular, and she'll be carrying him to timeout because I'm an invalid and I can't.
Right.
And he will go, like that, and I have to go in and sit him down and have a talk with him on how that is not the proper way to express anger and that he needs to calm down. And I'm like, and with him, it's constant. Look me in the eyes. Look me in the eyes. Michael, in the eyes. It's just like taking a picture of him.
Yeah.
Did you have problems when your kids were like three, getting them to even look at a camera?
Oh, no, not Julia. She was always asking to see the proofs. Robert was very strong. He was just, but you know, Robert didn't hit much. He would flail out sometimes, but I could overpower him. If he were to go out of control now, I think we'd all be screwed. But he wasn't a big hitter as a kid. He did throw a car seat at Carrie once, but that's another
story. Well, you know
what?
He's a sweet boy. He was here with his sisters all weekend. They were here. I was an invalid for part of Friday, but I had enough in me that I could sit up with them in the evening and play their little parlor games. They brought apples. What is it? Apples to apples,
which is like a kid's version of the cards of
Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
How are you doing with the heat?
It's very hot in here, but I'm familiar with the game. But I do know this. Cards Against Humanity, because it is so naughty. It is very, very fun.
Yeah, apples but it wouldn't to have been apples, appropriate with my daughter.
No. But apples to apples is kind of like doing connect the dots. Well, it's a good way to pass time. That's it.
Just the level of boredom was not even describable. It was that horrible a game. And I was ornery. And as you know, and our listeners.
And you're in pain. Yeah.
True.
Yes. And as our listeners know.
He's a competitor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are a competitor, Mike.
I mean, no, I had to apologize to my daughters the next day as I was taking them to the airport because I was such a dick.
Oh, the week didn't end well.
Because of the pain level, the show game playing Mike showed up.
Yeah.
But you know the show game playing Mike when Mike's really losing?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the, you know, it's just
Mike
like,
wants to go home and take the ball.
Well, you know, I'd say something to them like, "Well, you're not accepting responsibility. Well, isn't that unusual?" And, you know, I'm doing,
oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm doing stuff
oh,
like
you
that.
Oh, you need another car, just like you need a handout because you're a teenager.
That's right.
It was horrible. And it was really bad. So and then we played, I don't even remember the name of this because I was starting to, you know, pass out.
Right.
And the fact, and we had a. It's an electronic game.
Were you on painkillers at this point?
No. Okay. Not until everybody went to bed.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, and then, I'll sit there and go, "Carla, I swear to God, this is as bad as it's been. I didn't need this for the hip, but I need it for the back because this isn't working. And if it's not working, that level of pain means, I love you.
I'm going to go talk to the fish and then go to bed.
Hello, Bubble. Hello, Bubble. Daddy's a hot mess. Isn't Daddy a hot mess?
So what was the electric game
you
played?
Okay, you get a category like entertainment.
Okay.
And then you get the world, and then you hit the categories, and then you thumb through the different clues.
Do you play it on your phone?
You play it on a box. It's got all the stuff in there.
Okay. Like, and so they give you
a catchphrase.
Catchphrase.
Oh, okay. So they give
maybe
you clues.
Maybe it was catchphrase. I don't know.
It gives you a series of clues, and you have to come up with a certain item or a catchphrase. Indeed.
Yeah. Sure. That's
okay. What it was. How'd you do with that one?
I was a walking piss boy. I was nasty.
Well, because you have the pain, you're irritable. That's what happens.
Yeah.
I was irritable also because in a land long ago, far, far away. Okay.
Daddy Warbucks here had homes where if you really wanted to get away from people that were under your own roof, you could go to a part of your home and not even hear a sound. Mm. But now that I live in a double wide, yes, I can hear every... Now that we don't have enough space to even accommodate a friggin' pug, I can hear every little thing, and it's just
people. You haven't been the same, Mike, since they've taken away your panic room.
You know what? I need to be more tribal.
Tribal?
I need to be more tribal. Yeah. I read Sebastian Younger's book, Tribe, which talks about soldiers coming back from the war, and I finished it this weekend, and he talks about tribal societies and how much better they were when we all pulled together and we all took care of each other and we did for each other and we shared with each other. I'm a classic modern society American. I have gone, you know, even with my own family, it's like, okay, what time do you have to go to the airport? There you go. Come on, hop in the car.
It's not just you, though. I think that is the way things are now, because you know what? Houses, as a rule, are bigger. People have more individual activities.
Not this house.
Not my house.
But I'm saying...
Not Oscar's house.
No.
You've got three floors. You can go down to the bottom. How much time do you spend sequestered down there in your part of your home?
The majority of the time that I am there, until I'd say dinner time, and then we get together at dinner time, I go upstairs.
For 45 minutes, and then it's...
And then, no, we spend the evening together.
Okay.
But,
all right,
but I will say this, that with also activities, I mean, it's amazing that you played two group activity games.
We had two or three nights with game nights. I had an individual night out with Catherine. I had an individual night out with Elizabeth. We did things. We had a group night where we took them out. I talked about
but even the games that most people play now are on these. It's a one-person game. Even, you know, like, what's the hottest thing now is Pokemon Go. You do that by yourself.
Can I just talk about
heads up
for a second? Mm-hmm. And this is going to make me... I know I'm going to win the old fart award for this one.
It's okay,
these,
Mike. Yes. Phones.
These.
Phones.
Right here.
Smartphones.
These have...
Hey, gang.
Yeah. These have destroyed us.
Oh.
These have destroyed...
No, but they've made
interpersonal communication.
Hello, Bubble.
I am not on any medication right now.
Bubble, I want you to look at this iPhone. Do you know why you're happy, Bubble? Because you don't have a phone.
What is to be said with four people, four adults in a room, myself included, I'm on my MacBook, and everyone in the room is on their phone, sitting in silence around a cocktail table and typing away and looking away. And occasionally someone will go, you've got to see this.
Yeah, that's
true. You've got to see what I find interesting and I want to share just because it makes me feel good. And then the next person goes, you've got to see this. And it's not really sharing.
No.
It's not sharing. What it is your own self-absorption spewing over where you want to just share. That's why we do Facebook. I don't know what I'm... I know I'm rambling here, but that's where...
But on the other side, Mike, it has made picking people up at the airport so much better.
You can actually
so
see when the...
True.
I don't know how we used to do it.
I landed. Cell phones.
Yeah,
we're boarding.
Tell you,
oh, okay, later.
When I walked into the air... Yeah, well, texting goes without saying. But when I walked into the airport with my app and I literally came around the corner as I'm watching their plane land, timed it that perfectly.
See, that's
I will
great.
Agree with you on that. I just feel a sense, and you guys know this, I don't know if you've been around... Well, you've got kids. You at that age, too. You get that feeling. Does Carrie sit there and type away and, you know...
She's not
that?
A big phone person. She will put her MacBook. She does live in her MacBook sometimes.
But when you sit there and you see everyone...
Can't type
now,
when you're sleeping,
This has replaced... This has replaced it. This has replaced it.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm just, but you don't care as much.
No, I do. You know what I hate? I hate when the kids have an earbud in, because then they're not only not listening, but they're probably listening to something else.
Also, Mike, you have a different perspective. You get to see your children once in a while. When you see them, you want to make it quality.
The
time.
Most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and for example, when I see Luke and Sophia, they're at an age where they're in their phones, right?
Right.
And not their phones.
So they're at the age now where
they're at that phone age. So I feel, I empathize where I'm like, hey, this week when you're with D. Oscar and he's driving you around to 10 million different places because he loves you and he cares about you and wants to spend some time with you, no phones.
Yeah, can't do that with the kids that are old enough to fight in a war, Oscar. Can't do that. Anyway, that's it. We'll take a break.
Once they're old enough to buy cigarettes, it's done. Yeah.
You're done. Can't make any modifications to that behavior. Love you, Catherine. Love you, Elizabeth. Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah. Okay, show me your picture. All right, anyway. We'll take a break, and we'll come back. News you may not need. right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, hi. I love to spend the day at the beach with the sun and the fun and my oiled muscles. But at the end of the day, I want the funny. And I get so angry. Now, I listen to the Mike O'Mara Show every weekday at 7 p.m. And they make with the funny jokes and the laughter and things. And I love it. Sure, why not? The Mike O'Mara Show every night, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's the TMOS bonus package is still available for you and still available for you to support our show the best way you can. You need more TMOS. How about a 6th show every week? Each week we record a 6th episode of the show, uncensored. Oh my God, is it uncensored?
It is.
Sometimes worse than others. Sometimes we take a trip down potty lane, but yes, not all the time. You know, we just have fun and we kind of squeeze in some thoughts and other stuff that we wouldn't
get.
We've
interviewed dogs. We do everything. Mm-hmm.
Have a lot of fun.
That's a good one.
You'll get your full access to 2016 bonus show contest plus content plus the entire anthology at over a 25% savings, all waiting for you at MikeOMaraShow.com. Look for the banner marked TMOS bonus packages, Mr. Herman. When you subscribe, you'll get an entire year of access from the day you sign up. So whether you want to buy it, give it, or simply renew it, if you haven't renewed it, how are they doing renewing it, Oscar?
They're doing good. They're doing well.
Do better. Click that bonus banner and get it done. The TMOS bonus package. Order it right now.
Right now.
Yes.
News.
A new study reinvigorated the who's better at driving, men or women debate.
Oh.
I can't wait to hear this.
Now, here's the one problem with this study. I have sourced this, and I have not found who did it. But I do have the results.
Okay.
It says here that 56% of men have strong parallel parking skills versus 42% of women.
Of course.
Does that make you a better driver, though?
It's one of the things that you have
to
know
to
do.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it counts. Sure.
Because we parallel park all the time here in the city, right?
Sure.
So yeah.
How are you at it?
I'm great. I just don't.
The
best. I don't know if. Okay, if you don't live in the city and you don't have to parallel park, then that really, it's a tough tough gauge, right?
How is your good lady at it?
She's great. She's great.
Right, so would it be 56% to 42%, or would it be a tie at 50-50?
My girl is a bad driver. She's a great parallel parker.
Ah, okay. So that's you would be, that would be an anomaly.
So maybe, like, she shouldn't go places. She should just go from parking spot to parking spot.
That's a great idea, and then she'd be great. Isn't this great?
Isn't this great?
The thing is, study also found women are more likely to text and drive than men.
Mm.
So be careful, ladies. You're texting too much.
Be
Thank
present.
You. Yes. Kenny Baker played R2-D2 in the first 6 Star Wars movies, and on Saturday, he passed away at the age of 81. He was just 2 weeks short of his 82nd birthday. There's no word on a cause of death, but his family says he'd been struggling with health issues for the past few years. They didn't say what he was suffering from. Kenny was a 3'8" British actor, and he once... That's what he said. That's what they said of him. He said he didn't want to be stuck in a robot suit and didn't even consider it acting. But George Lucas told him he needed him because he both fit inside and was strong enough to do it. It was really tough to move while inside the costume, so a kid couldn't have done it. Plus, a kid could not have worked all the hours required to make the Star Wars movie.
I never thought about that.
And, Mike, there's an old theater expression. I think it's fitting here. There are no small parts, only small actors.
I wonder how they made him. Did he have to crouch? Were you, like, basically in a crouch position and then you're stepping, or were you walking? Because he wasn't that short.
No, he was inside the barrel.
Yeah,
and he was, like, controlling it.
He was
because he
was actual rope. I feel like he had to move it around as
He was riding.
He's, I mean, there's wheels. There's no feet.
He was riding in it, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But all those hours in that position.
Yeah, but I don't know whether he was in a, I mean, probably sitting, I would assume.
I believe there's a stool in there, yeah.
There's a stool in there. Well, if you're doing an 8-hour shoot, there's a stool in there.
You know what's crazy is we did, when we went to Disney, that was Star Wars weekend, and R2 would come out and, like, go around. Mm-hmm. And what was always fun is to try to find the guy who was controlling the remote control R2. And what they do is they have the remote control in a backpack. and you have to find a guy that's like 20 feet behind R2 with his hands behind his back controlling the robot.
Oh, because they don't want to show that he's controlling the robot.
It was very, wow. very cool. Very cool. I ruined it for a lot of children.
You find it and then you'd high-five everybody. And
I say, hey, why'd you make R2 do a spin or something? Because you're the guy who's running him.
He's then he turned around to his family and said, that's fantastic. Only 7 more hours, kids. Then we're going home. All right. If you still don't believe Amber Heard's claim, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth on this. If you don't believe her that Johnny Depp was a drunken abusive maniac, this might change your mind. I saw it. On Friday, video surface of a hammered Johnny.
Saw it.
It's throwing nasty. A tantrum.
It's
you saw
nasty.
It too?
Yeah.
It was a bummer. It was a real bummer. Depressing.
He's
the monster.
You don't defend that behavior even if you do it once.
Yeah.
He's getting drunk and he's one of those guys that goes into the whole rage thing when he gets
pours loaded. Wine the same way I do.
The full glass. I may have poured a glass or two like that, but I wasn't angry.
No. As a matter of fact, you were getting ready to be very happy.
That's right. at one point, he says, you want to see crazy? I'll give you effing crazy. Then he notices that she's recording him and grabs her phone, and it's a pretty disturbing video to watch at the end. But so I guess once again, it's swung back to, she's in the right with that.
Yeah,
so,
I believe her.
Man, she's had a campaign against her. Yeah. They've waged a war against her.
Surgical.
Yeah,
surgical that made her seem like the monster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. But this little factoid, who knows?
Settle.
Yes.
Out of court.
Box office returns for Suicide Squad dropped by more than 67%, but it still held on the number one spot of the box office for a second week. It took in $43.8 million, easily holding off Sausage Party, which came in second with $33.6 million. But Sausage Party only cost $19 million to make, and it's an R-rated cartoon, so everybody involved is probably more happy with its performance. Little surprise, Sausage Party didn't do better this weekend.
I think the $33 million is okay for Sausage Party.
I occupied my weekend at one point by going to Rotten Tomatoes with the 83% positive reviews and reading all the bad ones.
Really? Make you feel better?
Yes. About 2 months ago, Hostess announced they'd be selling a packaged version of deep-fried Twinkies.
Aha.
The Twinkies are fried, then wrapped, and they're sold in the freezer section.
Hi, this is the internet, Steve Mermelstein.
I don't know what happened there.
You have to bake them in an oven once you get them home. This is just
the worst.
I just picture somebody, noop, doop, doop.
Well, this is like in Fatso.
Turn oven to 450.
When you put a donut in an oven and you get it just warm and then you fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream.
Here we go.
It's what it is, Mike. It's the people that have the really all the wherewithal to stay fat. That's right. It's not just eating a Twinkie.
It's an art form.
It's preparing a Twinkie.
I think that the carnival fried Twinkie would probably be a better buy.
Oh, yeah.
And a better investment.
But stay away from that and go right to the fried Oreos. That's where the money is.
Thank you. Well, they were supposed to go on sale nationwide back when they first announced it, but that wasn't the case. They finally went on sale everywhere on Friday. The deep fried Twinkies are exclusively available at Walmart for the next 3 months because that's really the most natural pairing possible.
Yeah. Go and
they're
get that.
Right next door. They're talking to me.
Go and get yourself some deep fried Twinkies and a Crystal Pepsi. And that's got all your food groups covered right there.
$4.76 for a box of 7. They're only 220 calories each. That is 90 calories more than a non-fried Twinkie.
That's worth it, though. That's good. Use your calories right.
Yeah, fantastic. There's a 22-year-old guy named Darius Williams from Millbrook, Alabama, who came up with a pretty brilliant way to steal beer. He's been dressing up as a beer delivery driver. He rolls a delivery cart into the store, loads it up with cases of beer, and just rolls out the front door.
Wow.
With all the free
be right
beer.
Back.
Yeah.
Free beer. No one questions what's going on since he looks legit. Never mind that he's taking the beer out of the store.
Yeah. Does he even like walk backwards or anything to fool them?
I've seen. Haven't you seen delivery guys where they come in, they put like a couple of kegs there, they've overdone
it. It's like they're taking all the old beer out and putting the new beer in.
I guess, but it just seems that seems too simple.
But if I was running a store, I'm not going to worry about Joe coming in and doing that because he's got to do his job.
That's right.
He's
doing his job. That's right. Delivery truck. He's managed to get away with it at least four different times. One surveillance video shows him rolling 16 cases of Bud and Bud Light out of a Walmart. There's Walmart again.
Why would you steal Budweiser?
Yes.
Bud and Bud Light. But the cops recognized him from the video, and now they're trying to track him down.
I hope he's underage and just like, make it even catch me if you can, kids.
Yeah. Catch me. Yes, sir.
He's making it's fake Leonardo Budweiser DiCaprio.
Checks. Oh, my God. Mr. Abagnale.
Frank Abagnale. Exactly.
And now a little something, something. A 27-year-old woman named Jessica Cato was at a county courthouse in Grand Rapids, Michigan a few weeks ago. She was taking a court-ordered class on good decision-making.
Ah.
She realized the cops were coming down to arrest her for a probation violation, so she made the very, very bad decision to crawl through the ceiling tiles to get away from them.
Oh, Jessica. Mm.
She made it about 100 feet before they pulled her out of the ceiling. A judge gave her 2 weeks in jail for fleeing. She was in court again on Thursday, facing drug charges she'd gotten before she escaped, and she got 9 more months in jail. The good news is now there is an opening in the good decision-making class, and we're sending our intern, Mac. I'm very excited. Hey, get to take a little class on good decision-making.
He'll get an A.
Hey, straight A's. We'll take a break and come back with the audio vault. Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah. Do you talk C++?
Oh, yeah.
Do I? Can you telnet into port 25 and fake an email?
Can I?
Do you like to surf the back plane of a router?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever hex-edited your way to a registered version?
Sounds sexy.
We're not going to be talking about any of those things.
Well,
what will we be talking about, Oscar?
Is technology the way it affects your life.
And we're going to be combining a lot of entertainment. It's going to be a good time. This is not your father's tech show.
Tech 411 Show, available on the More Broadcasting Network and on iTunes.
That means it's good, so please check it out.
My app of the week will be Casey Cook's Ass App.
There you go.
That's a good app.
See, I try to make a point, and I've done some good there.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show, brought to you by Amazon. Amazon takes the hassle out of shopping for anything. There's nothing I like better seeing my little Amazon package on the front door.
So great.
I love it. And Pony, thanks for posting that over the weekend. Amazon takes the hassle out of shopping for anything because Amazon has everything. What did the post office do to your Amazon package?
Oh, they destroyed it. They destroyed it. It wasn't Amazon's fault. It was the post office.
Did you think about that before you posted the damaged package with the explanation? Did Oscar call you and tell you you should not have posted an Amazon package that was damaged, that you're taking money out of our mouths or feeding our children?
No, I did not call him. I did not call him. I figured we'd bring it up here on the show. You know,
I had an Oscar moment. Yeah, yeah. You know? Yes. It's like when Rob and I talk about going to a big box store, I see Pony, who rarely, you know, puts something, and he puts this picture of his Amazon package, and I know the world is waiting to know. What was in your package that was damaged? It was a rather substantial package from Amazon.
Nothing
damaged.
By the way,
shop at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. But
what
was it?
Just some Japanese stuff.
Oh, boy.
Was it really anime? Was it really anime, or are you lying?
No, you're lying. They were right.
It was anime? Believe him?
Yeah, it was.
Well, thank God, because when he said it was some Japanese stuff, I was wondering if she still had a pulse.
No, I believe it. I believe it, because the other day, he's so fastidious with this anime. The box can't be jacked up.
Mm.
The anime that Mac gave him the other day, they were trading all these videos. It was really weird.
Are they like DVDs?
They're like DVDs.
Well, no, this was mangas and stuff. So it's like,
what's mangas and stuff?
It's like a comic book.
Okay.
So you
do they pixelate stuff out in the comic book?
They pixelate everything.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I hate to, but you make this happen yourself.
This is about Amazon.
When you conjure, you make it a hit. A comic book would not have come in that. Was it a variety of comic books?
Yeah.
How many did you order?
A plot load.
What's a butt load?
Roughly.
Yeah. How much actually fits in the butt?
Like 10, 12.
What? Is it a bigger box than 10?
Tell us everything that was in the box.
Just various stuff, and there's a little anime memorabilia.
When you say stuff, that does not help. Just tell us the truth.
You're cutting into Rob's audio, Bob.
This is so embarrassing.
Oh, just tell us.
Like anime memorabilia stuff.
Like figures?
Like figurines?
Quite possibly.
All right.
Oh, it's too hot for this.
What's your most prized figurine?
I'll give you a hint. It's in him right now.
Oh, God. Okay, that's enough.
That's enough right now. God damn it, I'm playing this. Sorry.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
So, he just can't sit straight. Michael Phelps is definitely retiring. He's won a million medals, and he's not going to come back, even though Ryan Lochte thinks he'll be back. They asked him about it this morning on the Today Show, and it seemed to me like he might have even been, you know, already out of the Olympic mindset. They said, are you truly going to retire?
I've had a lot of four more years chance in the last couple of days, and this is what I came back for. And, you know, at the age of 31, I'm happy to start moving forward to a new chapter in my life. And I am retiring. This is it. That was the last race ever.
And then he and Matt had brownies. The weirdest thing. It was a weird interview. But, you know, he's truly an American hero and that. Fantastic. Did you, Mike, over the weekend see the Irish brothers, the rowers?
No, I saw the video on Facebook. I never opened it up.
Oh, you're going to like this. Maybe you can help me translate some of this. These are they're brothers, Paul and Gary O'Donovan, and they are representing Ireland in rowing. They took the silver medal, and they are being interviewed on Irish TV. And I can make out about every third word.
Guys, good afternoon. Congratulations. You did us proud today. How are you feeling?
Hi, lads. How are things?
What's your crack?
We're in Rio.
Yeah.
The background might look superimposed, but it's very real.
Background must look superimposed. Yeah, that I got.
It's very real. Yeah.
And Paul, what has the last few hours been like for you?
I've been shooken off now, to be honest. Since the racing, I'm a bit tired now, and the legs are like jelly. But I suppose we did a bit of celebrating and did the podium thing, and got to put on the podium pants as well. So that was quite nice, and saw the mother and the father and other people and took a few pictures and that, and then I had to go and do this doping control thing, so I was there for an hour or two trying to take a pee then into a cup for them, so that's about 10 litres of water as well, so full up now, to be honest.
Now, Mike, I don't usually double dip, but I thought you might like a little more of them.
Yes, please.
Okay, please. Irish brothers, Paul and Gary O'Donovan.
Gary, he's had great crack, though, anyway.
Yeah, he's been busy there. I was running around having a great time signing photographs and autographs and taking pictures, and it's all well and good, you know. We'd be fairly tired now. We haven't had a bite to eat since 2 hours
after
the weigh-in. We had a bread roll with some Nutella, and I'm fairly hungry now, but I believe they're on their way with some pizzas for us.
Paul, are you aware of what's been going on back home, back here? Because it's just been mayhem. The nation has gone rowing mad and O'Donovan mad.
But you know, I haven't a clue what's going on. To be honest, at home, I'd say it's mad excitement altogether.
It's a pity we're missing the whole thing out here.
Yeah, they're all in the pub at home and everywhere. Skibbereens after closing down a national holiday or something. We're missing it all.
So congratulations to the brothers O'Donovan for their silver medal. This was brought to my attention by my daughter. She and her friends are singing it to each other. They're texting it to each other. It is from the Czech Republic. It is a song called the Pokemon Go song. It's by an artist called Misha, and it's got the dangerous, dangerous elements of all things bad. It's horrible, and it's catchy. The kids are singing this Pokemon song.
I'm back. I play Pokemon Go.
What's the last lyric?
Every day.
Yeah, shoehorn.
I play Pokemon.
are going to wake up one morning and we're going to be rationing water. You know that.
I know
right?
that. It's horrible.
You know, and we're going to be going, what happened?
And this is what's popular right now. So let me close with something a little more positive. And I pulled this with Oscar in mind. A laser cutter. Not unlike a 3D printer, but what it does is it uses exactly laser to cut things and make imagery and make
shapes.
Cut
wood, could cut steel.
Anything you want. But it can also like potatoes. The thing is when you cut potatoes, they're already cooked.
That's right. It's you go see your father and your mother.
So we cut with the laser cutter. You can not only cut anything on Earth, you can also play the theme to Super Mario Brothers. The words.
I love people.
I play Pokemon Go every day.
Yeah, they don't have they're not exclusive. There's been stupidity around for many, many decades.
Exactly. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Nice. Stay cool, everybody. Have a great Monday.
That's it. Another Michael Mara show's come and gone. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to join us every day on air or online at MichaelMaraShow.com. To mail us anything that doesn't stink or tick, our address is TMOS, Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20000007. The coolest place on Earth. All messages and birthday requests for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with 2 B's humidity at MichaelMaraShow.com. The Mike O'Mara Show is all about you. Thanks for
take your time, Mike.
Thanks for your continued passionate support, Breath, of all things TMOS Breath. And please continue, Breath, to spread the word about Breath, our show, all over the world. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
You're a monster.
One last thing. Please remember that MichaelMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MichaelMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Michael Mara, Radio Entertainment.